what was I, about 12 when the war started. I can remember the war was declared at 11 o'clock and the siren went off at 11:15. So, of course, we all panicked. We had a cellar, so we all went down the cellar. And I can remember our next-door neighbour, Mr. Holden, from the shop. They were extremely religious couple, chapel, and they came down there and we all had to kneel and pray that we weren't going to die that day.
I was 10 when the war broke out. I can certainly remember when war was declared. I can remember being in my neighbour's garden, playing with a girl in the garden and doing handstands up against the fence and hearing the announcement on the radio that we were at war, but not really realising what the significance of it was. But I can certainly remember that. We used to go and sleep in the air raid shelter. It wasn't very comfortable, but my mother had made, you know, a couple of beds down there, I suppose, for my brother and myself, and they would come down as well. I suppose this was only when the siren went, and we would go down and we would be in this little, tiny little spot in the garden. as a child, I can also remember during the daytime using it as a place where you could go and have a secret picnic or something like that, so it also had some nice memories. But I think sleeping in the air raid shelter, we didn't seem to feel that after a while it was necessary. And apart from, I think there was a bomb or something not far from where we were. And I think that, you know, made my parents obviously quite nervous, and we were sort of back using the air raid shelter for a while. But I don't think this, in a sense, the really more worrying part of the war came until there were the buzz bombs, which we had quite a few over Watford area. And in fact, one of the schools was bombed. In fact, it was a whole chunk of the school at Leggetts Way was bombed and taken out. And I can remember some other buzz bombs in North Watford as well.
Alan was my greatest friend. I remember during the war, we cycled, him and I, over to Hendon to see his grandmother. And we kept saying, there's nobody about, where are all the cars? And when we got to the house, they were all sitting under the table. And the police picked us up because it was the middle of an air raid and we didn't know. And there we were, merrily cycling down the road in the middle of an air raid.
You had the choice of Anderson's shelter or Morrison's shelter. A Morrison's shelter was the type that you put under a table. The Anderson was the one that you put in the garden. I think that's more popular. My brother helped dig a hole and put this shelter in and put bunks in it. And I think I was the only one that used to go out there and sleep. But as it was corrugated iron, it used to sweat. I think I used it pretty often because we made it pretty cosy there, but I don't actually remember any of the adults coming out there. They just be indoors.
My name is Joyce, and I was 11 when the war broke out, so I didn't know much about the first start of the war. I just started at Leggetts Way School, and the first place in Watford, I think, that got bombed was our school. It came right down the art classrooms, which were the best classrooms in the school. They were beautiful. And the sad thing was the boilers were underneath the art class. They knew exactly where to drop it. So, and it went right down the hair brakes into Long Spring, the back of Long Spring. There was a, I can't remember the name of the little road that runs between, but it, the parents of two children that were at my school had just gone up to make a cup of tea, and one of the bombs dropped there, and the children got killed, and the parents had just gone to make a pot of tea to take it back down the air raid shelter. So that was really sad. It put made it look as if the school didn't really matter when it comes to the thinking about it. We had quite a good time at school because every time the sirens went off, you had to go down to the air raid shelter, which was in the recreation ground at the back of the school, Leggett's Way. Well, we had two girls who were Polly Pippin's dance school at the time, and they were supposed to entertain us, but they only knew one song, didn't they? And that was A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. Now, every time we went down the air raid shelter, we had this song and a little tap dance by them, you know. But apart from that, it was quite, when once we got back to school, because we couldn't go for a while because not having any heating and that sort of thing in the classrooms. But we eventually got back into school to do our work and that.
My dad was on fire watch. He was in a reserved occupation as a builder, bricklayer, and he didn't get called up. And he was there on fire watch when the bomb dropped, and there was quite a number of people killed, including my best friend Anita. And my mum was, on that night, was going along our upstairs landing to us girls, and she got blown by the blast down two steps which went into the bathroom and back bedroom, and she ended up in a pile, very black eye and bruised face and shoulders where the blast had knocked her into the door. And we were tucked up in bed in the middle bedroom, perfectly all right. And then Dad came flying in and found Mum in a huddle. But she was all right. She was just badly bruised, knocked out momentarily. We had a very large air raid shelter at the back of Christchurch Vicarage, which was at the top of Bruce Grove. And I only went down there once and terrified me. I hated the place and I would never go again. We just stayed in our beds, really. When the sirens went, Mum made sure that we were all right and just stayed in the house, you know. And there was never any damaging. Well, we had, it cracked, the bus bomb cracked our bath, so it was never able to be used again. And it cracked some of the glass in the windows, but apart from that, there was no other damage.
My friend's house had a bomb in the garden, and it was her 7th birthday. And I should have gone to that party, and I didn't really like school, but I insisted on going to school. And this bomb sort of went into the ground, all the ceiling came down, because it was her birthday in the jellies, and yeah. So that was another little episode.
I remember sitting up in bed watching a doodlebug come over. It blew up in, can't remember, just not far away. And the little boy who was made homeless, he was lodged with us, because my mother would look after anybody's kids, you know. And Twistle, his name was. I always remember Twistle. And I remember him once. He had to go to bed in the afternoon because he was very young. And I remember my mother calling up the stairs saying, "Are you asleep, Twistle?" And he said, "Yes." That's quite comical.
I'm not sure if it was a doodlebug, actually, that came down, but at the bottom of Leggettswood Avenue in North Watford, Garston area, there was a very large water tank, and it stood there for many years after the war, didn't it? And this bomb had been tracked right down the A41, and it actually fell into this tank of water, emptied the water out.
Yeah. It was a good job it was that side of the road, because the other side of the road was a gasometer, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Ooh. And we think, you know, talking about it since then, that my dad maintained that was being aimed for the gas.
The major effect, as far as I was concerned, was when my father was finally called up and, well, I think he volunteered about 1943, so it was the latter end of the war before he went away, because he was the age group where he'd been in the First World War right at the end and served only for about a few months, and then was too old really for the call up for the Second World War, and so he... And he was in a reserved occupation, so he was there until he finally decided that he felt he ought to volunteer, and he volunteered for the Navy, and so he was away for 2 or 3 years. I think, you know, as far as I was concerned as a child, you know, I missed him, but life still carried on, you know, it was pretty much as one, you know, it's just a routine really.
Oh, as I grew up, of course, we had all the soldiers from different countries come, because when France fell, we had the French soldiers that could get away, and same at Belgium. We had Canadians, and eventually we had Americans as well, but they were very late coming in, they were. But... at that particular time, I was growing up, wasn't I? So my sister was 2 years older than me, and my mum wouldn't let her go out on her own. So that meant if she wanted to go to the dance, I went to the dance. So at 15, I was at the town hall, doing my dancing bit and everything, all dressed up as if I was 21. But we used to have some fun. The soldiers and the foreigners that came in were sort of let out round the town in different places. Mainly the Canadians were at Leeson Hospital, because they were mostly the wounded. Mm-hmm. So if you went out with a Canadian, you went out in the ambulance, and there'd be a crowd of you. And it'd be just a fun evening, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We'd perhaps have a bit of a pub crawl and what have you. I wasn't allowed to drink, but nobody stopped you, did they? I mean, I had a very... My mum was very easy with me. My dad wasn't, but my mum was. My mum would let me in if I come home late.
But your dad wouldn't?
No. Well... Dad never knew, I think, half the time he'd be in bed asleep if I was been dancing. Because it was always till 1, well, mostly 12, but sometimes even 1 o'clock in the morning. And 9 times out of 10, if my sister didn't always come with me.
Where everybody slept is a little bit vague. We were a terrace house, 3 bedrooms, 2 double and 1 single. The little bedroom at the back was the one that was free, shall we say, in inverted commas. I think by then my brother had joined the Navy, so he wasn't there. But we had a war worker billeted on us, and then that was followed by a nurse, and then a war worker who worked at Leeson Aerodrome. And in the middle of these coming one at a time, we then had an officer, army officer, and a batman come. And so where we, as I say, my brother wasn't there, and I was in the air raid shelter. But where everybody really slept is sort of in inverted commas, one just didn't, you know. I just remember the people coming. I can see them now, visualise them there. But, I think we got 6 months a night to have a soldier. I'm not sure. I don't know how much with the war workers.
I used to do a lot of knitting. And what used to happen was I used to knit socks for the soldiers during lesson,
yeah.
Believe it or not. I'd sit there. We done them on 4 needles.
Yeah.
Hard work.
In and round. And I'd be listening to everything that was going on. And I, of course, I had to do all the paperwork and that. But if it was just talking, I'd be sitting there knitting. And then I'd hand it to the teacher to turn the heel for me because I never did get the gist of doing it.
Yeah.
It never worked out. But she done the heel for me, then I finished the rest of it.
I can remember later on, when I was a little older, we used to go to harvest camps. They were great fun. I went to one at Herne Bay, where I did wheat stooking. They don't do it nowadays because all of the corn is in these great big rolls covered with plastic. But in those days, you had it and you stooked it so to sort of together. That was good fun. You went, I think we all lived in sort of huts, and then you were taken on a tractor to your place of work in the field. Another one I went to was at Whitney. I did potato picking there, and again that was very nice. They were great fun, and of course we didn't pay because we were doing work for the government.
Then I took an evening job in the little cafe down at Longspring, and he was a foreigner. I don't know what he was. But I had to watch him. It was all right if his wife was there, but if not, I had to keep out of his way. He was a bit handy, you know. While I was working there, the Americans came into the war. And there was this American that used to come in because he liked these Viennese things, that they called them. And he used to go to the pub. And he used to get a drink in a glass and pay for it and come over to the restaurant for his meal. And then he'd say to me, "Are you walking home on your own again? Because you're not supposed to." Now, he was an old man and he had a sit-up-and-beg bicycle. I mean, he couldn't do anything because he had to look after his bike, didn't he? Now, he used to stay and walk me home at night.
Yeah.
And talk about his family and photographs and all that sort of thing. And in the end, he came in with the family. He used to come in and have a cup of tea or something before he went off on his bike and a little chat and show us all his photographs, his family, what he did at home and everything. He was just lonely. Mm. And I think he must have been well in his 40s.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
he was old to me, what
yeah.
I thought. Then, of course, he started bringing a tin of fruit now and again, a bit of something else from the, what did they call the stores?
Yeah.
Naffy?
Yeah. And I said to Mum, "I'm sorry, but he's cramping my style." I said, "Mum, he'll have to go. I'm going to have to tell him I don't want him walking me home, you know." So anyway, Mum kept saying, "Oh, come on, another bar of chocolate, another tin of fruit, it won't hurt. He's only walking you home," he said to me. My mum used to say to me, "He's not doing anything." She said, "He's just lonely." So I said, "Oh, all right." So last, it went on for a little bit longer, and then I decided I'd have to get rid of him, and I found myself a little boyfriend who walked me home, for a little while. It didn't last long. I never stopped with a boyfriend very long because they always disappeared in the army or wherever they were going.
Yeah.
An Irish dance up at the Scout Hut in Leggett's Way that this particular Saturday night. And we had a proper band playing and we were doing the Irish jig and all the rest of it. And suddenly there was dum, 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 dum. And it was a buzz bomb coming our way. So we kept dancing, the band kept playing. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if you know what happened, the engine cut and you knew it was going to come down.
Yeah. Yes.
And do you know that band never missed a beat? And we all kept dancing. And it went in the road just behind where the church is, where the Scout Hall is. And it was on one of my teacher's house.
Oh.
It went on. And as it happened, she was out at the time.
Oh.
I left school, yes. I went into the print to start with because everybody went to the Sun, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
But because of the war, we used to do flags, stars and stripes. They were transfers anyway that we printed.
Oh.
And we printed them and I was put up. And there was only young boys up there because most of the old ones had gone. And I'd worked with two people that were older people, you know, to look after us kids that we were up there. And it was nearly all boys. I was the only girl up there. I was really looked after. I mean, some days I could have gone out with about 10 boys. They were all after a date, but I was, believe it or not, I was shy in those days. We lived in Beach Road. And on our landing, we had a big window, and you could see right over Watford, almost into London,
mm-hmm.
from where we were, up the top of Fuller Road Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to watch the dog fights and that were happening, and watch some of the poor lads come down. And then one night, there was a bomb, and it fell in the dairy. And it was a girl that was getting engaged to an American, was having a party, and we were looking out of the window and we saw the whole lot go up. And on top of that, my aunt lived at the bottom of Fuller Road, and my mum was worried. But Mum was down the air raid shelter. We stopped going down the air raid, said to me and my sister. We used to watch from the landing window. And my mum, when we said to my mum, she says, "That's Auntie Laurie gone." So I said, "No way," but she insisted. So we walked down the hill and Auntie Laurie was still there, but it was behind the next road.
Mm.
And you could hear they'd got all the horses there for the milk rounds and everything. And the noise was horrific going when we walked down the hill, people screaming and the horses and everything.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, my Auntie Laurie was safe, but a lot of people at the party died.
I remember Dad, who was on fire watch, and he came in and got us kids out of bed and told my mum to get us dressed. He took us up to this big water tank because you could see London burning.
Yeah.
If you looked at the length of the A41, mm-hmm. you could just see flames,
a glow
all the time. Every so often you'd see a spurt of flame coming out, sparks.
God, terrifying.
Yeah.
I never stopped with a boyfriend very long because they always disappeared in the army or wherever they were going.
Yeah.
So I used to get lots of letters from all different boyfriends of the past that I've been out with, perhaps just one night if they were on leave or something, you know.
Oh.
That's how things were in those times.
Yeah.
You sort of loved them and left them, if you call it that.
And my dad lifted me up to look over the fences in the back gardens of Bruce Grove to see all the planes flying down the length of St Albans Road. Don't ask me where they were going, but they were on their way to the Battle of Britain.
The best sight of all during the war was when the whole, you would not believe how many planes coming over towing gliders
yeah.
for Arnhem.
Oh, I remember
the
that.
The sky was absolutely full.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was unbelievable. And you didn't, nobody knew what was happening, of course. It wasn't announced or anything, was it?
Yeah.
And it was just, they just kept coming. Aeroplanes with a glider behind, aeroplanes towing a glider. And the sky was just full of them. It was unbelievable. I was scared for them. I had a friend. He wasn't really a boyfriend, but it was somebody that I knew, and he was in Arnhem. But he came back, but you couldn't get any conversation out of him after he got home.